All right. Welcome to the Sell by Being Human podcast. I'm your host, Alex Smith, and this is the podcast where we learn from people in all walks of life who sell things through the lens of human connection. I think we can learn human skills throughout all people all around us. And I think this is the place where I'll bring the very best people together who exhibit those skills. I am so thrilled to introduce you to two people who I think have these skills in spades. And I got to experience them two times now in the last 2 months, just because I was just so taken with it. This is a guy who has really came up with a crazy idea 10 years ago, right? 10 years ago to start up just this awesome music experience at his house, and bring some of the biggest bands in his backyard and shoot amazing music videos, put them on YouTube. So I have for you one of the co-founders of the Sugar Shack and the Sugar Shack Experiences, and he'll talk to you a little bit about that. And he's also joined with his wife, or his fiance, I should say. Oh my gosh, I even asked them before, so I'm already marrying them. His fiance, who also does photography and also contributes a ton to the cause. So welcome none other than Eddie Top of the Sugar Shack and Lisa Hamilton. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks, Alex.
Thank you, Alex.
It's good to be here.
Awesome. Well, I have to ask you both, I wasn't really familiar with the Sugar Shack up until about 2 years ago, even. I'm in Florida. I love listening to reggae. My friend is like, oh, man, you've never heard of this. He turns it on in our pool. And it's just this like awesome acoustic, awesome acoustic music from like some of the biggest bands we've ever heard of. And it's on YouTube. And as I look into this, this is something where you can actually get tickets and go, but it's literally at your house. So when I tell people like, you know, I'm going to like this, like really VIP expensive experience, but it's at, you know, someone's backyard, it didn't always start like that. So, you know, tell me, like, I even want to know, like, Lisa, like, what did it look like when he's saying, I'm going to bring a band to the house and I'm going to, you know, shoot a music video. And yeah, like, what, like, walk me through like that kind of process and how it got from just that first band to like where it is today. And if you ever even thought it would get to where it is today.
Yeah. So, excuse me, I played drums in bands for a long time before I started Sugar Shack. So music was always a big part of my life. And through that came touring and networking with a lot of musicians, a lot of bands from around the country. And I was always the guy in the band with a camera. And I mean, this is like MySpace days back when this was happening. This is like, I mean, I graduated high school in 05. So like, this is before the Instagram boom and all that. So, but I was always had like a GoPro or some kind of little camera with me and always documenting along the way and taking pictures. And so like filmmaking and photography was always kind of a natural thing for me. And I always had like a natural eye for it. But drums was always like my first love and my first passion. But then I was in a band that toured for about 4 or 5 years. And, you know, I thought this band was going to be my career for a little while at least, but then as bands do, they break up. And I needed I'm an entrepreneur at heart, so I don't do well working for other people and clocking into a regular job. So naturally I was like, okay, I have to pivot. I'm not in a band anymore. This is my income. And so I started dabbling into freelance videography and did real estate stuff. I did weddings. I did like all the classics, like videography, startup stuff, and really just like cutting my teeth and learning the craft. And I did skateboarding stuff. Wakeboarding is really like where my filmmaking, I really like found my love for filmmaking, the wakeboarding scene, just being like a hobby of mine and what me and my friends did every day. So when that band broke up, I've always followed live music channels and TV shows and things like that, even from like MTV Unplugged as a kid to Tiny Desk Now and Jam in the Van and Audio Tree and things like that, those live session channels. And as my video company started to grow locally, bands started asking me to do music videos. So I started dabbling in music videos, and one of them happened to ask for an acoustic recording in a tropical environment.
Shout out SoFlo.
Yeah. all the boys in SoFlow, they're no longer a band either, but they're good friends of ours still to this day. And they were really some of the pioneers in our local scene in the Naples, Fort Myers, Bonita Springs area, Southwest Florida. They were one of like the first bands that really like really gained a true local fan base. And they hired me to do a video, and Lisa and I had just moved into the Sugar Shack. And I said, well, I got a really nice back deck. It's really tropical, and I can sit you in a half circle, and we'll do the video there. And we did. And it just looks so beautiful. You know, that was my first music video. I mean, looking back, compared to now, it looks terrible. But it looks so good and had such a vibe. And I just kind of had this vision of, like, I think I could start a session channel on this deck. I think I know enough bands to get it off the ground, and there's enough music locally that I could really get a foundation of content. And I did. I, you know, through my time of being in a band and being a creative in this scene, I met a lot of other photographers, a lot of videographers, a lot of audio engineers and producers. So I just pitched the idea. I kind of formalized the idea into like a note in my phone. And then I pitched it to some of my buddies that I knew were solid. First off, like solid and reliable guys. And obviously we're good at their craft, whether that was video or audio. And I said, hey, I have this idea. And I'd like to start a YouTube channel. I think we could use this as a vehicle to build like a bigger media company. Let's use this as a business card. And then like, because we've given away every video. We've never charged an artist. We've never paid an artist to buy my back deck still to this day. But I said, I think we could just give everything away, give it everything we got, and we can build a brand behind this and get people to start like supporting the brand Sugar Shack along the way. And four guys that are still with me to this day said, yeah, let's give it a shot. I said, I'll do all the booking. I'll do all the marketing. I'll do all the editing. I'll just hold it down as long as we can, and we can see where we can take this. And yeah, and we balanced day jobs for, I think, 3, 4, maybe even 5 years. We balanced full-time day jobs. So we were like we would literally shoot bands on our lunch breaks at my house, like sneak away for lunch and like come shoot a band real quick and then go back to work. And so those early days were definitely a hustle. You know, it's still a hustle. And as you get bigger, it gets even harder, but that's awesome. In different ways. But yeah. You mentioned like cold emailing and yeah, I think I look back at those days and we definitely leaned on all the locals at the beginning. Obviously everybody that I knew mm-hmm. that played music played that deck, whether you had one song or you had like 7 songs. Like you played our deck because we needed we just need to get a foundation for the channel. Yeah. And yeah, so we just did that, and we just never stopped, man. We committed to one That's video awesome. A week at the beginning, and we ran one video a week. I don't even remember, but you know, after that it was probably about a year or so. And then we ramped up to 2 videos a week. And then, you know, we just kept building and building and building and building. And I started getting more eager and started getting more, I don't know. I just started cold emailing artists that were booked or traveling through the state of Florida. And our little corner, Southwest Florida, is like untapped. Nobody stops here for tours. You just drive right by. But it is on the only route to go from Tampa, St. Pete to Miami, Fort Lauderdale, which are two big music hubs in this state. And there's only one way to get there that makes sense. And we're right off the exit. We're 5 minutes off that exit, off that route. So that was my pitch. I just started saying, hey, I see you're going from this city to that city. I'm on your way. I have like a 6-pack of beer. I got chips and salsa, and I got free videos. Come hang out with us. You know, a lot of bands said no, but bands started saying yes. And you know, I would send them my most polished session that we had that I was most proud of. You know, and they were no neighbors, so they were like judging us off of like, you know, one song from my buddy Corey or something like that. And bands started saying yes. You know, like some bigger bands, like the Movement was one of the first, Ballyhoo, Green. We got some heavy hitters there within like the first, I don't know, 10-12 months. Yeah. And we just kept building from there. You know, once one big traveling artist comes in, we kind of gain that audience, and it's kind of like a bubble of their audience. And then another one comes in, and maybe that bubble starts overlap, their audiences start overlapping. So we start this compound effect, and now we're 10 years deep. It's like, you know, we basically have blanketed the entire country at this point with artists and their audiences. So, yeah, it's been a really, really exciting journey. Every day is exciting because we just like just last week, I booked Michael Franti. He asked me for a session, and that's a huge pull. He wants to come to our house, and
that's amazing to me. Yeah, I saw him with the Fortunate Youth in Clearwater. So like, and he's like, thousands of people are screaming and yelling his name and stuff like that. And it's just amazing. I think in the beginning, like you said, it wasn't like you maybe had a couple cameras and you were into videography, but you're not like, doing it. You're not working for MTV, right? No. Shooting music videos. Like you're just kind of like somebody that knows a little thing or two about shooting videos and working for some weddings, but now working for some pretty awesome bands. I'm curious, like before getting into kind of some of the tactics you use, like, cause I love just the story of how you connect with bands. Cause I feel like it's more than just you asking them. It's like the everything, like you really kind of are creating like an exceptional experience, and like the product you're giving to artists and the people you work with is just top notch. So I'm just curious, like before it got to that place, like Lisa, like, in the beginning, like when did you think that, my life might change and this is like going to be like a studio. Like when did you think it was just like just a fun thing to do on a weekend versus, oh no, he's actually wanting this to be like a passion of his. Yeah. A career.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, what's the band that doesn't wear the shirts? You guys,
the band that doesn't wear shirts,
like every band. Yeah, I'm just thinking, Lisa, because like if I gave my wife this idea, like, yeah, like we're gonna bring like bands and set up this backyard and like especially even bring people into my house, like that's like we'll get to the experience because it just was bands, but then and your neighbors coming by, and I can't even imagine. So I was talking to one of your neighbors, they were like, yeah, in the beginning I saw the green, it's like a dirt lot with a few beers, and I'm like, this is a, for anybody that doesn't maybe know, this is a band that tours around the world at festivals and concerts, and they're at some of the biggest reggae stages with tens of thousands of people. And they're like, yeah, I'm going to buck off this exit and go hang out with Eddie and Lisa and their neighbors and on a dirt lot and get a nice music video out of. So, yeah, tell me what you think, like when you thought this was more than just like a thing on the weekends versus like, oh, wow, this is maybe something, there's something here. Or maybe that was very early on. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, because when did the movement come? Because once the movement came, I was like, whoa, like we've been big fans of them for a long time. We would always go to their shows. Mm-hmm. And then to have them pull off the exit to come to our house, I was like, okay, something's happening here.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah, because then it wasn't just local bands anymore. Then it was like bands that I've been into. So I was like, okay, this is cool.
Yeah, bands that, for years we were buying tickets to go see.
Yeah.
Anybody else, these are bands that we were into. And obviously that's where we started. I wanted to see, selfishly, have bands that I'm into at our house. And, the band that I had been playing in was a modern reggae rock band. So that scene was already very familiar to me. And those are the bands I was opening up for. So obviously I went there first.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. So, I mean, early on, you must have been like, this is crazy. Like, I can't even believe like little old me in Bonita Springs. Like I'm not known. I'm not a name, but maybe they saw something like, yeah, why not? Let's take a flyer, and like, I think like a video speaks a lot. Like you could say, wow, we're going to give you a free music video. And like, it's a cool, chill vibe and we're good people. We're not, crazy fan. Like we're not stalkers, we're just like good people. I think they probably felt that when you reached out. Before I get into, I always ask people at the beginning of this, and I love both of your answers. Like when you hear this and like what you do, I know you say you don't love working day jobs, but you love like kind of, you had this entrepreneurial mindset. When I say something to you, like when I say the term sell something, which is the, you're selling music and the Sugar Shack and your experience. But when you hear the term like sell something and sell it by being human, what does that, conjure up to you, and what does that mean for you and kind of what you do? And I would love like to hear like both of you on that.
Yeah. When you sent me your show, I've been thinking a lot about that. I said, how does this apply to Sugar Shack and what I've done with my guys and with Lisa along for the ride too? Like, I think there's a big part of Sugar Shack's success is the company culture and and the emotion and the feeling and the just the vibe of the team and how we even operate as a business and as a company. And even from my initial like intro emails, even to this day, I'm very intentional on the words that I use and the like emotion that I'm trying to emit, even through just just from that first email, for that first contact, makes such a difference that it's not so dry. I try not to be like corporate at all, because that's the last thing we are, is corporate. I just try to be very personal, and I've made sure that that has happened since day one, whether it was me or even just like teaching my guys by example, leading by example, on how we should even just talk to artists. Because I'm an artist before I'm a filmmaker, so I know what artists are looking for. I feel like I know what it takes to make an artist say yes to come do this. So I think just even from that first email, it makes such a difference, you know, because if you send something dry and corporate and it feels, you know, some like NBC is hitting you, obviously. Maybe that's a bad example because most bands would probably jump at that. But being just a small little platform. Yeah.
Some faceless person, you know, like just some corporate suit is asking you to be in their project. You know, I'm sure they get hit up all the time by people like,
they want their time. Right. Yeah. This is real people building a real community, a real movement. And we have a real audience of live music lovers online, now in person too. For me, that's always number one, is the way we communicate with artists and with artist teams makes such a difference. And managers will show up for sessions with their bands and be like, they'll comment and compliment us on like how responsive we are or how like personal we are in email and how everything's so organized. And because that's a big thing too. Like with, you go to a, I've been on tour with artists and I'll show up to a venue and like there'll be nobody there to greet you.
You're like, where do we go? What time are we doing? Whatever. It's just so laid back. People smoking.
And so we're just trying to be as personal as possible and really try to like see it through an artist's lens. From my perspective,
I like it.
Yeah, I would say like the Sugar Shack guys are like, it's like a brotherhood, but like they're a bunch of goofballs, but they know how to like turn it on and be professional. Yeah. And that really shows. Okay. It shows through their video content, how they handle the experienced guests, all of that. And Eddie's always put community first. So I feel like that just like has helped Sugar Shack grow so organically so fast.
Yeah.
He just cares and loves about everyone and like making connections, whether it's their first time meeting him or it's an artist that it's, they're coming there for their third time, like Fortunate Youth. Like, it's family.
Yeah.
It is a family feel. Like we say that a lot, like the Sugar Fam, whether it's like even you, Alex, like people that come and hang and experience this with us. It's like, that's like, we consider everybody family that supports us, whether you're working for us or with us or supporting us. Like it's, we try to make sure it's a family feel, that it feels personal, because it's such a disconnect in today's world. Community and all that, you know,
especially like, with a digital brand, you know, you feel so disconnected.
I just, you know, feedback. So like I'm, you know, as soon as you walk up, so like I've never been anything. First off, like you don't know where their house is. You get like a golf cart to their house or something. You meet in a parking lot. You're like, you know, like all the things like in this digital age, it seems like so suspect. It's like, oh, like I'm just going to someone's house I don't even know, on a golf cart in Bonita Springs where I've never been. And, you know, it's not a bad neighbor, but like I've never been to this house before, but I'm going to trust it. Like, cause it's the internet, you know? But I mean, you don't make it look shady. You really are intentional about like how you communicate beforehand and like what you're going to be, you know, like all the directions and like what you can expect. And then when you get there, like, okay, someone's taking you and you know, you see like you're the first person that people see.
Yeah.
Like I see you're literally greeting every single like, and I'm sure you're pulled in a million different directions, but you take the time to just sit there and literally greet every single person in line.
Yeah.
And, you know, just introduce yourself and, you know, see where they're from. And I felt that. I was like, oh, wow. Like, we're like guests in his house. Like, we're not just like a ticket holders, you know, like, like, so yeah, like that feeling comes through. And I imagine that's the same way with artists. Like you said, like, you know, if they're going to give their time, you're probably like, let's take care of them. Let's make sure whatever they need. And, you know, just you're talking to people. So, you know, to put people there, you're wearing headphones and kind of you have this like backseat, you know, backstage view to like what artists are saying. Like you're saying stuff like check one, check two, like, you know, what put this treble, like level up, this level down, like talking to the artists. Okay, you sound great. Like, and it's you see the music actually being made and produced and kind of what happens. And like the one I went to, they're literally saying like, man, this is a tight ship, Jack. That this is Jawadi, you know. And I was like, that's probably I imagine like, man, you know, these people are on huge, I mean, stages and has been through tons of, you know, concerts before. But like yep. for them to just have that visceral reaction, like yeah. I'm sure that's not the only one that's gone up to you and said, wow, like I even said, like people are like, wow, this is really small, but OK, let's do it. Like because you see like what's being produced, right? Like, yep. what, do you have any stories of people coming up to you, artists and things like that? Like, I'm surprised, like, of what this production is.
I was going to also add that, like, it's a very high pressure environment for an artist. Super high pressure. Six cameras, everything is mic'd. It's in our motto is real raw live music. We don't pop. I mean, we make it sound good, of course, but we're not tuning vocals. We're really not altering much at all in a day and age where everything is so polished and tuned.
Wow.
Perfected.
Yeah.
Like this is putting an artist on a back deck, and what happened that day is what you see on the internet. And I, like I said, like, yeah, we're mixing and mastering, of course, and making sure it sounds good, but we're not doing what you hear on the radio. And I think that authenticity is really what shines through. But at the same time, the more comfortable and confident that me and the team are, the more comfortable and confident that artist is, and that's in return is going to be a much better performance, much better content in the back end, much better recordings. So that's the number one thing that artists tell me every single session is like, you guys make us feel so comfortable in such a high pressure environment that like we feel amazing playing this music and recording it, and we're essentially making an album together, and some of those songs are done in one take. It's just like, that felt great. That's unheard of in this day and age of music. And I encourage artists, like, let's keep the first take. That first take is magic, man. Mm-hmm. So you know, that's why we do what we do, and why we handle the artists like the way we do. The more comfortable they are, the better they're going to play in the end.
Yeah, I love that. So tell me a little bit about, you know, kind of how you're communicating to artists, because you said, I thought that was like just something so just great about like what you said about like, it's all about like the words I'm using, how I'm communicating to them, like how I'm trying to like just share our story with people. Because I just think that's wild. Like, you know, think about this for anybody that's listening, like you have this big idea, like I'm sure, you know, anybody that likes music out there, you know, like would love to have their favorite artists play at their house and, you know, cold email their favorite artists. And I'm sure, you know, maybe you've sent a letter to people or sent something to, you know, one of your favorite artists, but they don't get back. They're getting thousands of, you know, letters. So, and you said like a lot of people said no, but can you remember like, you know, kind of anything about like the framework or like the titles or like funny thing, like just, you know, how simple you made it. Mm-hmm. Like what did you say? Do you think that hooked people? Cause like they have no clue who you are. I mean, I know like you are when you're putting something on YouTube, I mean, I'm sure it's growing, but like it's got to start with, like, I'm sure the Sugar Shack probably started in the first few weeks with a few hundred subscribers.
Yes.
And now it's like hundreds of thousands, and if not millions across social media. So how do you get somebody to pay attention to you when you're nobody?
That's a great question. So I, first and foremost, I literally screenshotted Google Maps, and I basically laid it out how easy it is to come see us.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. All right.
That was a big part of it. And
okay, that's funny.
And second, I would tell them that, just being, you know, transparent, I would tell them that we're a local crew, video crew with top-notch skills, and that just basically tell them that we're confident that we can produce a piece of content that you're going to be proud of for a long time. And then we could build a relationship together, you know, because we would say, come be on the channel. And then, you know, we're also available for music videos. We can record your album in our recording studio, or we can do commercials or ads or whatever you need. You know, I would tell them that we have a lot to offer, but let's start with a back deck session so we can show you what we're capable of and for free, and provide this service for you essentially. And then build, and also there's a whole other side of, like, we're also trying to build a live music community and bring people together through music. So I would use kind of both of those pillars as kind of like the framework for an email. And then of course, like I said before, like I would send them our best example at that time or whatever, but just trying to be transparent and be as real as I possibly can. And even on those early days, like you can see we've only been doing this for what, 10 months or something. Like when the movement said yes, that was crazy. I was like, holy shit.
Oh, it said yes.
Holy shit.
And then you weren't even there for it.
Yeah. Then we had, yeah.
What? Yeah. Stop it.
And they were still hustling.
Yeah. We had a commercial, gig booked like way ahead of time, and it happened to be the date that the movement asked for, and we can't say no to the movement after I just asked them to come, so the boys had to hold it down without me. And they ended up like FaceTiming the entire time for me, and I'm like at this gig in Georgia, oh, like watching the movement on my back deck.
Oh no.
Yeah. It was crazy. So like I said, like I think just being as authentic and transparent,
yeah,
yeah, and upfront, you know, it was not just some like quick 2-sentence email. Like it probably could have been shorter, but I was just thorough and as transparent as possible and as real as I could be. And And cool. Like I said, I just mass emailed it, because back, you know, 10 years ago, a lot of bands had contact emails on their Facebook pages, like on their about page and stuff like that. So it was a lot easier to like find a way to them. Now it's a lot more discreet and a lot harder to find, but at the same time, like every band we've had has a connection to any band we need at this point, so we can get intro to anybody we need at this point. But yeah, I was just hitting it from all angles.
Okay. I like the pillar that you were just like, okay, it's like, because most people would be like, wow, they're coming to your deck. Like it would cost thousands of dollars to book some of these artists to play your house or party, right? But you're not approaching it like, oh, we want you to come play for our guest. Like,
yeah.
And you're not, you could have said, yeah, you know, we'll make a music video and you'll play for our guests and it'll be great. And like, you'll have a good time. And they'll be like, no, you're kind of taking advantage of us. Like, what do you mean? We'll get a music video out of it. Like, right. I'm sure. Yeah, sure. We'll get a music video out of it.
Yeah.
You're like, we're creating like this movement, like this community in Bonita Springs. And you're already kind of coming back and forth. You're going to be down here, and you know, it's going to be free. We're going to give you something really high quality that, you know, you can kind of judge us on, right. You know, and here's some of examples of our work, you know, and you're not trying to like get the next project or the next project or the next project. It's like, no, just do this. Let me give us a chance to do this and show you what we're doing. I'm sure they've probably have hired you to do certain things, maybe that are paid. Okay. Because of what you've done.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've created beautiful relationships with most of our artists from that perspective.
That's awesome.
They come back and hire us because of the way we treated them when they were here with us or things like that. Like, oh, those guys were cool. Let's get them to do our music video. Get them to shoot our recap at our show, or, you know, so
that's awesome.
A big part. A big revenue stream for Sugar Shack for sure.
Just networking. Lisa, I know. Yeah, I feel like you said your background was also like photography, maybe, or you were taking pictures at the one that I went to.
Well, yeah.
Do you do that?
The reason I got into photography was because of Eddie. He was needing photos because, you know, all the guys are busy doing video, and he needed photos for whatever reason, promo, posting, all that stuff. So he basically just handed me the camera, showed me some basics, and I would shoot bands that came through. And then my friend Renee, who owns a very successful wedding photography company, saw my photos from the bands and asked me, hey, would you ever want to do weddings? So then I got into weddings. And as soon as you shoot a wedding, you learn real quick how to use the camera. So
Awesome.
So that started my photography career. But yeah, I love shooting, especially the bands that I'm like really into when they come to the house. I'm like, can I shoot them? Yeah.
That is so cool. So I feel like you've had that story. I mean, you have it now, like with your fiance, but like, I think there's countless stories of people that I've met just in the two times that I've been where you put them on to something, like, you know, Greg at a, you know, the restaurant in St. Pete Chartreuse, you know, is so now it turned from let's just, you know, create awesome content. You know, I'm into music. We'll create a music video. And then somewhere it morphed into like an experience where you like started charging, you know, and people didn't just see it online in a music channel on YouTube. They're actually like paying to like have dinner and hang out with these bands. And so, you know, talk to me a little bit about how it kind of morphed into that and maybe how you, like how you network and get connections with, like, what are some examples of people that you've, you know, given opportunities to in the community? Cause I feel like it's, there's countless stories like Lisa's, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, you'd probably be a whole podcast if you listed them all, right?
That's one of my, just side note, one of my favorite qualities of Eddie is he has really great leadership skills, but he sees the best in someone and he can like pull it out of them. It's one of my favorite qualities. Just shout out.
Heck yeah.
Wow. There you go. I love it. That's huge. I mean, like I had a guy come up to me and was like, oh man, I knew Ed, like I met a guy on the beach and then he said, you know, and saw him at, you know, Reggae Rise Up and I met Fortunate Youth. And then through that, he said to come by the Sugar Shack and hang out. I was like, no way. Like I didn't pay for a ticket. When he's like, Eddie, we'll let you in. Come on. And he came over and he eventually, you know, realized I want to give back. So he started taking photos. Then he started like making signs and now he like makes all the signs and he's just hanging, like he's just somebody that happened to know somebody that met you. Yeah. You know, you don't even know him personally. Like you just met him through other people. Yeah. And there's just like, so like, yeah, what do you, like when she says that, like you see, like get the best out of people, like what do you yeah, did someone treat you like teach you that in your life? Like where do you think you pick that up and kind of like what's your philosophy when you kind of like, you know, meet people, you know, to try to see what you can do with them?
I feel like my parents, my parents have been entrepreneurs my entire life since I can remember, and they were always encouraging me to make or build something and trying to sell it. Like since
started
I
started with Beanie Babies.
Yeah. Doing craft shows.
Oh, that's a crazy movie, Beanie Babies. Okay. Right.
Yeah. Just doing anything I can to like make a dollar when I was a kid. And my parents were entrepreneurs my whole life, and they like ran like a cabinet shop and they ran like crafts, and we did craft fairs like every weekend as a family and as long as I can remember. And so it was always like instilled in me to like work for myself, or like I can, whatever I can do with my hands, like how can I make money doing something with my hands and doing it with what I
know. That's cool.
So first off that, and then I dropped out of college around 08 and I joined the Air Force. And this is before Sugar Shack. I was just working at restaurants, doing the college grind and just not knowing what I'm going to do with my life, as I feel you do when you're 19, 20 years old. And I had a buddy that said, hey, I'm going to the recruiter today to get some more information on joining the military. Do you want to go? And he was my roommate. He was my best friend at the time. And I said, yeah, I'll go. I've never even considered it. I'm like the second person in my entire family tree to ever join the military. But I was like, yeah, I'll go see what this is about. And I was interested in stability and some like just a steady paycheck and something that I could like build my life into. I don't know. I was just going to college and working at a restaurant every day and just doing that every day. I wasn't really doing much. And I was playing in a band, but you know, when you're that young, you're just kind of like partying and living day to day. But yeah, so I think the military really, it truly brought out the leadership skills in me. Like I got off the bus at boot camp, and I'll never forget this for the rest of my life. I got off the bus at boot camp. The first time I stepped foot on base at boot camp, one of the TIs grabbed me by the shoulder and said, get up front. You're the leader. Like I'm in a single file line getting off the bus. I'm no
just trying to mind your own business.
Yeah, I'm just trying to blend in, dude. And this guy grabs me. He's like, you're up front. Whatever the role is called, line leader or something. I was like, okay. So I got up there and I was the only, and then, you know, in boot camp, there's like, I think there's like, out of like the 50 people in your flight, there's maybe like 20 like job positions that they have within that, like day-to-day jobs that keep it going, and you're responsible for whatever. And I was the only one to maintain my job from that moment to the to graduating boot camp. And you know, that showed me a lot. I was like, oh man, I can lead. Like, I didn't even know I could do this. Like, I was just like, it just brought that out of me, that confidence and that I don't even know the words, but it just brought that out of me, like the what I was like meant to do, I felt like. So a lot of what the Air Force taught me and the military taught me, because I did my 6-year contract and got out.
Wow.
And started Sugar Shack. That instilled in me so much and brought so much out of me. And I'm able to apply it now in Sugar Shack. And I don't run it like military at all, but I mean, we have push-up contests sometimes. But I definitely contribute a lot of that, because that definitely brought me out of my shell. And I'm very grateful for that time that I did in there. And because I wouldn't be doing, I don't think I'd be doing what I'm doing now if it wasn't for my time in the military, because it just locked me in. And like I said, it brought me on my show. I was a little more shy back then, and not as much of a confident person as I am now. And now I'm ready to take on anything now. I feel like, especially as a team, like we take a lot of risk as a team, just for, you know, greater risk, greater reward. We do a lot of stuff together as a team. So, and having that confidence as a leader, that bleeds into the team, and everybody else is a lot more confident going into things. So, I live by that every day.
Yeah. I mean, I can feel that culture. Like, you're bringing it back to like, it, you don't just say, oh, like, we're a family, because people are like, oh, no, you can't have a family at, you know, in your personal life and a family at work. Yeah. But if your intention is, we're going to, you know, that's just how we're going to treat you,
yeah,
you know, whether you are or not is, so that's the, you know, that's just a word,
right?
But you know, how we treat you is very much, you know, like, you know, you're connected. You know us, you're part of us. And, you know, like you're saying, you're really, you know, kind of, not just building something that's temporary. Now it's 10 years. I'm curious, like what is your hope for like the next 10 years of what this could, you know, maybe turn into? So 10 years, you're having a podcast. Maybe we do this again. Oh, yeah. Like what's Eddie and Lisa going to be doing? Hopefully.
I know that answer for you.
What do you think it is?
So Sugar Shack Downtown, which will be the first live music venue in Bonita.
That's awesome.
I know he wants to take that to every music city around.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully there'll be Austin.
Yeah, that's definitely the next chapter. That's where, you know, that's where our intention is right now as a full team and as a company, like taking our Sugar Shack Downtown concept to every music city. But we have to find a way to maintain back deck sessions in the meantime. Like, we can't.
Yeah.
Back deck sessions at the Sugar Shack is the heart of what we do and the heart of this brand.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's, you know, we're finding that balance as that place is coming to life every day. It's being built from the ground up. I'm excited for the next chapter, but I'm also very focused on maintaining where the company is right now, because there's a true demand and a real passion from our fan base and from our supporters for what we do at the Sugar Shack. So it's probably the number one question. Like, you guys going to get rid of Sugar Shack sessions? Because, hell no. We'll do whatever.
Thank you. All right.
Yeah.
You heard it here. No matter what, no matter if the two of these folks get married and maybe move out, they're not getting rid of the Sugar Shack, or maybe, no. I don't know, but hopefully that lives on far after they don't actually live in the house.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what your life, like the lifestyle is like during the week. You're just planning stuff, and it's almost like you're in a music studio in this little, it's a great name. It's a little Sugar Shack. It's just an awesome shack,
Lisa's been very
awesome,
very, very supportive, and very understanding.
I can't imagine.
And patient with me and the guys.
All right, it's time to go. Like, you know, the band's got to go. It's 3 a.m. You know, it's time, I think.
Yeah. We've had some crazy stories along the years with bands at the house, and you know, the session is a very, at this point, is like, a huge accolade for artists, for especially in like the modern reggae rock scene. Like, it's like such an achievement for artists in that scene now, that some, you know, some bands culture is to party and get blackout drunk in those situations. So every band is different, but so we have some crazy stories over the years of bands just getting wild at the house on a Tuesday night or something. Like,
I want to, like, maybe we do a Sugar Shack on uncensored podcast one time, but we'll save that. I want bands to come back, you know, so I don't want to put them on blast too much, maybe off camera. Well, last thing I'll just ask you all, I ask everybody, well, like, two questions. One, you know, tell me, like, who, like, put it out there. Who's, I mean, you said you could get connected to anybody at this point. Mm-hmm. Who would you love to see? Like, who are you a fan of right now that, you know, like, that's on your, like, list? Maybe it's somebody you've been cold emailing and you just can't, you haven't heard back from them yet.
Yeah. I will say, I think, like, the whole era of, like, cold emailing is kind of, it's kind of tapered off for us, because with all these connections, you're better off going through a manager or another label.
Yeah.
Like, hey, can you introduce me to, like, Jelly Roll or whatever? You know, because, like, I selfishly want Jelly Roll to be here.
That would be hilarious. That would be amazing.
Yeah. So to answer your question, like, Jelly Roll is definitely, I need to find a connection to that. But a longtime goal of the whole team is Jack Johnson. And, you know, we have so many connections to him. It's just a matter of time of when that's going to happen. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
What about you?
Oh, yeah. I've already so many of my favorites.
Yeah.
A lot of them have played, probably.
Yeah.
So.
Well, having Trevor Hall at the house would be cool.
Yeah. Trevor's definitely one that we need to get here.
Yeah.
In person. We always go to him. So.
And Rising Appalachia.
Yeah, which may happen this year.
Yeah. All right. Well, last question. So, you know, this is all about, like, helping empower other people to listen to your story and everyone's story, and, like, maybe, you know, pick up a little bit about, you know, how you treat others and, like, what you do in your walk of life, you know, so, like, and being unique, like, you all are really unique. I just got that. It's not like you're trying to be someone else, or, like, we're just trying to be real with people and transparent about what we're trying to build. And, like, that comes across. So, like, this is just a fun question about the two of you, because I think one of the big things about connecting with others is just, like, helping people understand, like, this unique, what makes us unique about each other, all of us. Like, we're not just selling a product or something. We're kind of letting people into ourselves. So this is just a fun question. So if I told, so it's fun. Usually I don't have two people together, but this is great. So, Eddie, if I asked Lisa, like, what is something that is just so totally Eddie that it's like would only and could only be something that Eddie would do, you know, it's something that is just so totally Eddie, like, what would she tell me? It's just like something, like, totally unique about you that's not really, you know, like most people.
You say about me?
Yeah. Yeah. And then I'm going to ask the reverse to Lisa. Yeah.
Oh, boy. What would she say about me? Oh, man. She'd probably say something about the stars and me being a Leo.
Oh, okay. Unique. All right.
I feel like she would say something.
I don't even know what, like, what's a Leo? What is, like, that described?
Well, that's a sun sign. So he's a Leo, okay. You know, July 29th. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Leo is all about, like, leadership and, like, creativity and, like, being out in the public eye and, like,
okay.
But he's there, like, some people are like, oh, Leo, like, they're kind of standoffish because they can be like, oh, look at me kind of Leo. But he's more of a, like, oh, look at what we created kind of Leo. He's, like, more inclusive and, like, anyway.
I like it.
That's all.
I didn't know there was levels, but I love it. Okay. So what would Eddie say about you, Lisa? Like, something that's just, like, so totally you. I feel like I'm on, like, a dating show.
I know.
Like, and you're like, hold up the, like, you know, I never get this. This is so funny.
Yeah.
Let's see.
It's a tricky one.
It usually stumps people. People are like, I don't want to, but now we're like, we don't want to, like, embarrass people. But just even your friends and family, like, what's just so unique, like, about you? Something that, like, only you would do. Maybe it's, like, something quirky about, like, that you
well,
like,
just,
or
like, really,
or
probably say something about just me being like totally weird in myself and like always dancing around the house. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like Lisa always is seeking knowledge. And
nice.
And she's always looking for a way to learn more about the universe or our soul's purpose. I'm serious. Or
she's deep. Yeah, all right. Dang, I didn't know this, Lisa.
Yeah, health and wellness, and then spreading that knowledge and helping others better their lives, better their health.
Yeah, I love to empower people and like how to take their health back and like be their best weird selves
holistically.
All right. I love it. All right. Well, I don't let people come out. Like, where can people just find out more about you, the experiences, what you're building downtown? Like, hit them up with where they can find
you. Yeah. So check us out at sugarshacksessions.com. That has everything there. The experiences has a link to our new live music restaurant, Sugar Shack Downtown. Has links to our Instagram, which is daily for us. We put out videos 5 days a week. So yeah, sugarshacksessions.com or @sugarshacksessions on basically every platform.
Awesome. You two have been a real pleasure. Thanks for jumping on and bearing with me in the beginning and just sharing some awesome stories. It's been a pleasure. I hope to see you at more events and just I can't wait to see this rise for the next 10 years. So you've been awesome.
Thanks, Alex.
All right.
Appreciate you.
This was fun. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Hey gang, this is Alex. Thank you so much for making it to the end. If you heard a quote you liked or got a little bit of value, drop me a line or a comment. It means the world to me. We have great human beings throughout all walks of life every single week who sell through the lens of human connection. And I'll see you on the next episode of Sell by Being Human. Thank you.